speed. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to Moe's Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Moe, and this is the Paisley Penny Arcade. Where are the Paisleys? Why, they're everywhere. Everywhere you can see and not see them. Paisleys are the very seeds of life. Yeah, that's what they are. Ha ha! Did you know that? And when we see them, well, usually we're pretty stoned or something. But that's the good part, you know? they're actually quite beautiful. I mean, even in paisley fabric. And that's why they're so popular, because they're gorgeous, gorgeous. I've drawn them many times. And drawn on them many times. The seeds of life. That's what paisley are. Persian cucumbers, they've been called. Bota, that's what they're known as. And that's why we're in the Paisley Penny Arcade. Why pennies? Because they're cheap. Or I should say, inexpensive. How are you? Today is, I know how many of you are, just like me. Today is Wednesday, the 13th of November, 2024. Yes, 2024. And oh, what a day it is. This is the week after election week. Man, oh man, what a week it is. Holy frijoles. Lots of people are having very strange thoughts going on. And I've spoken to a few of them, and let me tell you what. I mean, really, people are having some very unhealthy thoughts. I'm just going to be honest and to the point. And it's going to be pointillism. Little dots of strange thinking going on. And I'd like to talk a little bit about that today, because it's not healthy what people are thinking about. Let me be quite to the point and honest, and honestly pointed. And point, you know, I got to. So let's get right to it, shall we? I'm going to talk about something that I love talking about, and that is fear. Why do I like talking about fear? Because I love to dispel it. I love to dispel fear. Which president are we talking about? Well, you know, when I can't do it. I used to be able to do a relatively good FDR, but if it's not in your head and you don't do it a lot, you know, I can do a president, you know, like, which president can I do? I am not a crook. Well, of course he was. But, and of course, paling in comparison. But I'm not going to try and talk about politics, although maybe I should. But let's not talk about that. Let's talk about fear. Let's talk about fear, because fear is something that sucks at the very marrow of our bones, and marrow is very important. So let's not have it, shall we? Can we get rid of fear? It's very hard to do, but a lot of people, I've spoken to people who are talking about lots of things like leaving the country. There are some very rich people who can leave the country, and they're going to do it. They're saying, you know, Mo, hey, I'm taking off. Well, go ahead. If you can, and you have a home in Italy, which you've been to and have gone to, then, you know, good for you, and have a nice trip. But it's not necessary all the time. Maybe it will be necessary. I mean, there are people who have really made the decision that things are going to be pretty horrible. And maybe they will be. But for someone like me, I can't go anywhere. I feel fortunate to have what I have, which is a home and a limited income, and that's that. And maybe you're in the same sort of world. So what do? We hunger. But more than that, we live our lives, you know? And we rely upon the wits that we have. So I think that fear is just kind of a lousy sort of thing to rely on. Personally, I do believe that. And I don't like fear. What do we dispel it with? Common sense and logic. And we shut out the fear-mongering. And where is the fear-mongering? Everywhere you look. That's the problem. It's just about everywhere you look. So if you can be like me, I mean, I was a history major in college, and that's not a big deal. That and about $6, $7 will buy you a cup of coffee. So, but I enjoyed it. And so what's happening now is pretty, I'm not saying enjoyable to me, because nothing about it is like, oh boy, howdy, you know, let's get out some popcorn and really sit down and watch this. But it's fascinating to me. But the truth of the matter is that everything will be all right on the other side, whatever the other side is. I guess I shouldn't use that term. But things work out. So for me, this is like, see what's going on. What's more important is quality of life. And I think that's what we need to do. We need to dispel the fears and embrace our lives. And there's a lot of ways to embrace our lives. One of that is to dive into the deep end of joy and enthusiasm. Joy and enthusiasm. What do you love to do? I love metaphysics. I love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. I love the I Ching. I love, 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 love the I Ching. I love tarot. I love astrology. I know one thing about myself, and that is that, I get very involved in it, and I do put my emotions into it. So, for example, when I have a vested interest in someone's outcome, I can't do necessarily a real clear-headed reading. See? So being objective is extremely important. When I have a friend who says, Mo, can I get a reading from you? And I'll pay you. I say, no, I can't do a reading for you. First of all, I would never charge you because we're friends. But secondly, you can't trust the reading because I want the best for you. So chances are it's going to be tainted. And that's something, I don't know, if you readers out there, if you're able to dissolve that line between what you want for somebody and what you see, that's something I've always had a problem with. Sometimes it can come out absolutely perfectly. You say, okay, that's just exactly what I saw, and that's what happened. But oftentimes, you see, and that's why reading for oneself is very difficult. Now, I'm going to maintain that reading for myself is usually pretty right on, and that's because I can be very hard on myself. I can be extremely harsh on myself. Actually, I'm pretty darn good at that. I can be extremely hard on myself. Can you be hard on yourself, too? Are you good at that? Are you good at slapping yourself around? I've been pretty good at that through most of my life. I don't know why. It comes with the territory, I suppose, of having made quite a few mistakes in my life. I don't know if they were mistakes. There's an interesting concept. Making mistakes in one's life. Or is that what you were supposed to do in order to get where you are today? Huh, that's a dilemma. So if that's the case, so we say, okay, I made a lot of mistakes in my life. Well, did I? Did I make mistakes in my life? See, my mom wanted me to be a doctor. I don't know if you saw The Crown. If you saw The Crown, that show about, you know, Elizabeth and Philip and Diana and all that, and you saw Dodi Fayed's father, portrayed, and that was Mohammed al-Fayed, you know, who owned Harrods. And all he really wanted, and as they portrayed him, was the elan, you know, he wanted to be accepted by royalty and all that. And they never did. They just really, you know, he was an outsider and this and that. And so if you saw that, you saw an Egyptian parent portrayed as someone who wanted to control their son's life, Dodi, you know. And he wanted to control him, and the son did everything the father said. Well, he wasn't a hippie freak the way I was. There's usually one Egyptian parent who wants to control the child into success in order so that they can reflect upon the family and be that way. Well, I don't know if that's just the way it is with Egyptians, as much as it is just with parents, old world parents. I don't know. I don't know if that's the way it is. It certainly was in my household. I was always told that I was the son of a professor, and that I had to reflect that. You know, oh, you can't wear those jeans to school because you're the son of a professor. And I thought, what does that? I called it a soap. I'm a soap. You know, I'm soapy. And so I thought, well, you know, when I got of age, I dressed the way I wanted to. I grew my hair long and my beard unkempt. It's still pretty unkempt, at least at this point it is. Last time I shaved my beard or trimmed up my beard, I didn't shave it. I did something wrong and it itched and hurt, and I think it was offended with me, quite frankly. I think it was angry at me. It said, "Mo, why are you doing this?" Well, when I was young, I never trimmed it or anything, because that was offensive to me. You know, it was my beard as God grew it, you know, and it was also very curly, so it never looked very long. But anyway, that's neither here nor now. I'm older, and it's lost a lot of its springiness, and so it looks a little less tight to my face. But I don't talk like this yet. No, that's my beard, you know. But it is magnificent, if I say so myself. I happen to like my facial hair. Anyway, I'm a geezer, yes. Someday they'll call me Geese, and that'll be just fine. And I'll move to Giza, where my dad grew up. So I'll be the Geese in Giza. Oh, I rather like that. So that concept of if I had been the rather obedient young child and had gotten all the good grades that I was supposed to on that one path of life, well, I suppose I could have been a rather successful something. It just hurts my stomach thinking about it. Could have been a successful this or a successful that. But my true passion in life was metaphysics. It was tarot. It was Ouija boards. It was, because remember, I grew up in a house, you know, at the age of 5 and a half or 6, we moved into that. I guess I was about 6. We moved into that house that was haunted. And I saw ghosts, a ghost, and felt the others and heard one screaming at me more than once, which was just this side of No, it was the other side of terrifying. I lived in terror in that house, and I mean absolute terror. I have never felt fear like that since. It was that sort of fear. I've dreamt of that fear since then, and I'm just going to say this. I don't know if you can understand this, but it was a delicious sort of fear, and I don't know how else to put it. It was the type of fear that is in the dreams, I feel it, and it's paralyzing, literally paralyzing fear. But it's something that I relish, because I don't know why, but it's truly paralyzing. But it's something that I only feel in that context, and I've never felt it any other time. Now, of course, there are fears that aren't, you know, like when someone you love is very ill, or when someone you love is close to dying, you feel other types of fears, but nothing quite like this, especially when you're just a little kid. And what I did to conquer that fear was, I didn't conquer it, but I had to face it. I knew that at the age of 7 years old, that I could not stand this anymore. So there was the bathroom in this house, one bathroom that was right next to the bedroom that was haunted by the, or occupied by the spirit that detested little boys, especially me, living in this house that had been playing with the old Victrola phonograph, the old RCA Victrola phonograph. And I loved to play with that thing, but the entity did not like me playing with that thing. And I was very respectful, by the way. I was a very serious and studious and very respectful child. I never abused anything. I never wrote in a book. In my entire life, I never, except for coloring books and play books, you know, things like that, I never, you know, underlined in books in college. And I never could stand that. I still don't do that. If you do that, that's fine with me. But I was never that kind. So when my kid brothers came along and they started drawing in my books with crayons, I just... just flipped me out, you know. So I went into the bathroom of this house and turned off all the lights and closed the door and just stood there until the fear passed, until I realized that I was alive still. And that helped. That really helped. And so what that did for me is it kind of said, you made it, you lived through that. And it took care of that fear, and nothing ever really frightened me that way again. And I think that that's a good idea in life. You know, you face whatever it is. You face whatever it is. And that's why I say when I have a dream, and I haven't had those dreams in a long time, but the house has been torn down. On the block, it was the only house of its kind that was torn down. That was the old fraternity row of that area. And so when you revisit it, there's something about that that's very exhilarating to feel, even though it is tapping into something that once upon a time was so incredibly, you're tapping into something primal. That's what it is. It's primal. There's something about primal energy that is exhilarating and fulfilling. It's like the first time you do a magical ceremony and you know it's working. And you can feel an entity, or you can feel the magical power. It's like an electricity that flows into you, through you, actually, because it's not into you, it's through you. Magic never works into you, it is through you. It's like when you get an electric shock from something. I don't know if you've ever, you know, been working on electricity, and you suddenly realize, oops, that was not turned off. I did that once here. We had a thing that was, it wasn't off. You know, I was changing a fixture. And suddenly I found myself on my butt on the floor. And I had just been completely zapped because it was not off. It was a double line or something. I don't know. And I said, that's it. I'm never touching electricity again. It's like plumbing. Every time I tried to do anything with plumbing, it ended up costing us $400. And I said, that's it. That's done. Well, the same thing has happened to me with certain types of metaphysical work, where I've touched something and realized, whoa, that is the end of that. You know, and that's kind of how life can be, too. You learn that there are certain things that maybe you shouldn't wade into the waters of. Aleister Crowley found such things that he waded into the waters of and said, wait a minute, I don't think I should have done that. Even though he was much braver than most people and more genuine than most people. Lots of people say they do things that they absolutely don't. I discovered elemental forces were real at a rather early age. and once you discover that they're real, you stop talking about them in certain ways. I knew people who claimed they did all sorts of magical things all the time. They'd say, oh, yes, I did this. See, when I was a kid in the 60s, and in the 70s, I was, you know, getting, I was a teenager in the 60s and in late teens, and then becoming a young man, and then in the 70s, you know, older young man, and so on, and becoming an adulthood and an adult in the 70s, and you begin to work with these forces, if you will, and experiment, and you begin to discover that these things are very, very real. And then as you get more into life, you realize you don't have time for anything but life, especially when you get married and have kids, and you say, you know, I'm not going to bring stuff into my house that could affect my kids. And so but you realize that everything you've ever done is a part of you. And so you have to be very, very careful. And you know what? That's the same it is with life. When one day someone, you know, there's a knock on the door. Yeah, and you open the door, you know, and you go, oh, hi. You know, and you're, it's like, oh, who is it? And who is it, Mo? And you go, it's an old friend. Well, the same is true with metaphysical laws as well, that sometimes an old friend shows up that you don't expect. So the same is true in life, in that anything you've ever done, anyone you've ever known, can suddenly kind of pop in and go, by the way, here we are. And I think that that's something that people forget, you know. Let's talk about this concept of karma. I've spoken about karma before, and one of the things about karma that astounds me is this misconception that karma is like the golden rule, because it is absolutely not. It is not do unto others as you would have others do unto you, especially when it's something really cool. You know, that's not what karma is. We cannot begin to understand the intricacies of karma. Karma has to do with it's more than just balance and law. It's more than just action and reaction. And I had this explained to me once by a Hindu gentleman who was absolutely flustered and annoyed with me because I used the word in the traditional Western misunderstanding of it. Oh, that's really bad karma, man. He's going to get his. And he just kind of, he was just so irritable. It was like, I am so tired of people using the term karma so ignorantly as you have used it, but once again. And he spent the next hour and a half explaining karma to me. And I was so grateful, but I was also, you know, what can you say other than thanks? And it's very complex. And I would urge you at your earliest, whenever you have time and you have the inclination, to study some up on karma, because there are so many different types. Umbrella karma. Umbrella karma has to do with, if you're a member, let's say you're living in the US of A, there is umbrella karma. And what does that have to do with? Everyone living in this country has umbrella karma. And so you can say, okay, well, so I live in the United States of America, which means that I have the karma of the entire nation. And you say, so what? Well, this country has karma based upon everything this country has done. And you suddenly go, holy moly, what has this country done? Well, this country is the great protector of the rest of the world, isn't it? Let me think about that. And you go, okay. Or let's say you join a group. Like, for many, 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 many years, I was a Freemason. Well, they've done pretty good things, haven't they? Well, I'm no longer a paying member, so it means I'm no longer a Freemason, right? I think they kicked me out a long time ago, the way almost every group eventually kicks me out, you know? It was about doing this. They, even though they're supposed to be, like, you know, gung-ho into the alternative thinking and all that, got news for you. You know? So, and you really find out that, I mean, let's face it, people are afraid of things. People are afraid of alternative thinking. You know why I became a Freemason? Because of Crowley. Because Aleister Crowley claimed to be the highest ranking Freemason in the world. And then I found out that he made it all up. He was not a member of a regular lodge, although he may have been in Satin Lodge in Mexico. But the fact is that he was not a regular Freemason. Now, the guys who started the Golden Dawn Magical Order in England, Wynne Westcott and S.L. MacGregor Mathers, were. They were. But that's not Crowley. So, and that's it. Crowley made up a lot of stuff. He just talked through his hat. And other places as well, which I won't mention. So you begin to realize that the world is made up of people who just weave these tapestries, intricate and sometimes beautiful, but sometimes just wispy tapestries of BS, you know? And sometimes these things can get us into all sorts of trouble. They get us into all sorts of strange places, and we believe them, and we follow them, and we end up perhaps into a bit of a trouble place, you know? And that's quite weird. So we have to find our own paths. That's what I'm getting at here. Fear is a ridiculous thing unless there's a real tangible... You see, there's nothing tangible going on yet. There's a lot of stupidity going on. There's a lot of show going on. Dog and pony shows, you know? People going, ooh, ah, and people screaming. And, you know, there's an old saying, when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. There's a lot of hype. There's a lot of weirdness going on, and I'm maintaining that a lot of this is misdirection. Now, I've done sleight of hand magic in the past. I grew up loving this stuff, and I did it. I'm just a terrible liar. That's my problem. I'm a terrible liar. And when you do sleight of hand magic, you have to lie constantly. You know, here's a card that is not gimmicked in any way. You know, and the minute you say that, people are thinking, why didn't Mo say that? You know, it's like, I don't have anything in my hand other than, and they're immediately like, you know, I used to roll my eyes when I did the magic move, you know, and people go, why did he roll his eyes? So I suppose I could try again now. I have grandchildren, and they might like, but I'm a yo-yo man too. And you know what yo-yo is? It's gyroscopic effect, so it's nature. It really is. It's fascinating stuff, because a yo-yo is nothing more than a gyroscope. And now they make them with ball bearings and all that. Now, back in my day, it was all just different, but that's a different story. But I was pretty darn good. Mighty Mo the Yo-Yo Pro, they called me, back when I was just a little kid. I was just, you wouldn't believe. Anyway, so the idea is you find your own way of doing things. And when you find your path, whatever that path may be, and you can, you certainly have to learn from others, but you find your own way to what we might call mastery. You know, it was Mark Husson who was the first one to call me a tarot master. And I thought, I don't know. That makes me nervous, calling me a tarot master. He said, you are. He said, I don't know why you take that on. You know, it was a guy named John Bradley. He'd worked for Jimmy Carter, who called me, you know, Mighty Mo, the Yo-Yo Pro. And I thought, I don't know if I like that. I'd been a Yo-Yo Pro for years. I'd worked for Dunkin' Yo-Yos. And he said, just take it and go with it. Why are you so like this? It's because I couldn't stand the thought of excelling at anything or you know, saying I'm good at something, because of that strange thing of, you know, being the son of a professor and having to always, you know, I wasn't the doctor, I wasn't the lawyer. Why are we like this? You know, there are people who aren't like this. There are people who can beat their chest and swing from vine to vine and give the Tarzan yell and say, look at me, look at me, look at me. But not all of us are like that. I've always had a hard time with that. I'm terrible at business. I'm terrible at tooting my own horn, even though I have several horns here on my desk that I could toot instantly. Of course, then my dog, you know, Coco, which come to the back, to right to my door and bark and want to come in, and that my room is not dog-proofed. She'll grow up enough to where she'll just come in and, you know, ho-hum and just sit down, and that would be great. But not yet. She's not there yet. So, but the point is that what we have to do is walk our path. Just walk your path. And don't be intimidated by the people who surround us and the crazy stuff that they do. And right now, there is so much crazy in the world. So much crazy going on that they should build a gigantic rubber room just for everybody. You see? And maybe just not for us. We're fine. You're fine. There's going to be so much hysteria in the next few months and years. There's going to be constant. And I'm going to tell you something. I think what's going on right now is for effect. It's all for effect. I think that I'm just going to just say that there's a lot of, there's a lot of appointing going on. And I think the appointing is being done to outrage people. It's like, okay, there's a lot of appointing going on to different posts. And I'm not going to mention names or anything else because I don't even want to give it that much credit. But I've been keeping up with it. And I'm like, really? That's why would you do that? And I think just to make people crazy, just to freak people out. This is something is going on. You know, it's to cause, when in danger or in doubt, run in circles, scream and shout. It's done to cause as much lunacy as possible. And I think that's what's going on. So what we have to do is you just say, put your head down and go, nah, I don't care. Let it be as crazy as it's meant to be. I know what's important. What's important is you and me, us, right? Right? Us. Or as the French say, us. There's a us. I don't know. I took French for 9 years in school, and I can't even remember. Nous avons. Right? Vous avez. Oh, mon Dieu. Parce que le pick-up ne marche pas. Because the phonograph is not working. Thank you so much. That's ridiculous. So my idea has to do with we need to take care of ourselves. Now, if at some point during this whole process you need to see a professional for mental health feelings, do it. There is nothing to be ashamed of in that. As a matter of fact, you are to be commended if that's what you think you need, I think, you know. I don't know. I go to my friendly deck of cards. I created my own deck of cards. That helped me a lot. Just creating my own deck of cards. I'm all for that. I believe that's a good thing to do. And I created an oracle deck based on playing cards, so I can pick up any deck of playing cards and immediately begin working with them, because I know that the two of clubs, you know, what that means for me. You know, it's something, what have I created? I've created a monster, you know, because I know that that's what it means to me. But it also is an act. I know I mean because of what it means to me, you see. I love this process. I love the process of creativity. I love the process of doing something. I'm in the process of creating a new cartoon character, like a comic book character. It's not a superhero or anything like that. And that's fun for me. You know, I'm drawing it. who knows, maybe. I'm not going to try and sell it or anything. I'm just doing it for me. And I'll send it to, like, you know, my sister and maybe my kids. And we'll see what happens, just for fun. But I was going to make it really simple and not put a lot of work into it. And you know how that goes. Suddenly there's a lot of work going into it. And it's like, oh, God, you know, why am I doing this? But it's because that's the process of creativity. So do creative things. Creativity is very important. Find something you're passionate about. I'm going to write in the Power Peak this week on Sunday. And if you don't get the Power Peak, think very seriously about doing that. I think if you go to powerpeak.com, you can subscribe. It comes free. You don't have to pay for it. Every Saturday night, you'll get it in your email box. It's a thing. It's a link to it. There's a password, and you'll get access to it. I write in it. C.A. Brooks writes in it. Man, that's amazing. She writes for every day of the week, an astrological thing. And other people, Gracie writes in it, and, you know, other people write in it. And Ginger writes in it, I think. And it's, you know, it's stuff. It's stuff that you get. And I think it's well worthwhile. Well worthwhile. So, but I'm going to write about a person who inspired me, and I guarantee you will inspire you. It's a story that will blow your mind. And I'm going to write about that for this week's Power Peak. It'll come out Saturday night, but it's a story you'll go, wow. And this is about, I'll just hint you a little bit. It's a 78-year woman at the time who did something that I can't believe she did by herself for a wonderful cause. Okay. It can be done. It can be done. Anything you want to do almost can be done. I mean, if you flap your elbows with your hands under your armpits, you're not going to fly. It's not going to happen. But within reason, there are things that almost any of us can do if we are willing to put in the work. So this is a time, rather than fall for the hyperbole and the incredible misdirection that's going on and the hysteria that's going on, we should put our minds to doing something positive. And trying to be positive. I don't care who tells me anything different. 2024, for me personally, has not been a very good year. We lost our beloved Trudy in June. And that was very, very difficult for me. I was devastated. And my wife was too. But I literally thought I was wondering, am I going to make it through this? Because she was like a baby to me, a kid. And I was really, it was like, oh my God, I thought things were going pretty darn well. We had problems, you know, the year was not, it was bumpy. 2023 was bumpy, but this was just when she, oh man, God almighty. And then we got Coco Bean. And she's, you know, she's not at all like Trudy. Trudy is very calm and, you know, and 8 years old and, you know, mature and was my little girl. And Coco Bean is kind of like a werewolf, you know. She's so cute and loving and bouncing off the walls. And she was spayed 2 weeks ago. You know, we're finally kind of back to normal. But my God, I love her with every ounce, every atom in my body and every atom in the universe. And she's such a cool girl. And she's so loving and so affectionate and completely different than Trude, you know. But I love her so much. And frankly, I'm happy we have her. And that's the weird thing about life. That's the weird thing about life. And you never know what life is going to bring you. And I'm in the business of trying to figure out what life brings me, you know? And that's where I had a real tear of faith. That's where I found myself completely, I mean, I knew something was wrong before Trudy left. I knew that I was paranoid that someone was trying to do something to her. I even talked about it on CA's show before, the day before it happened. I was talking about it. I was paranoid that someone was trying to hurt her. And the next day she was gone, you know, and no one tried to hurt her. It was something natural. And so, but I couldn't do anything about it. And you think to yourself, then why am I in this business? And then you realize, well, I've been doing this for a long time and I have helped people. And that's the weird part about life. You say, okay, are there things out of our control? And the answer is yes. So I want you to get that too, that there are things in life that are out of our control. And that comes back to the karmic part. Is there a reason for this? Well, I'm not one of those guys who says there's a reason for everything, but I've had to say to myself, maybe there is a reason for this. Maybe this country, maybe the people, maybe someone, maybe something has gotten too complacent. Maybe something has become a little too automatic, you know? Trust me, I wanted a different outcome with all my heart and soul. I believe this is a misogynistic society, and I've had women yell at me and say, no, it's not, no, it's not, no, it's not. But I've had women clients for years and years and years who have been oppressed, who have been in business and could not get ahead, who have hit the glass ceiling hard, so hard that it is hurt them in ways that I can't even begin to tell you. And it has broken my heart, and it has broken their hearts when they suddenly realize after working for a company for 25, 30 years that they don't have a relationship and they don't have kids, that they have given their all to a company that has used them and abused them, given them a lot of money, but they don't have anything else to show for it. But the men in the same position have families and grandkids. You know, I've seen this. I don't know. So I'm watching all of this and I'm thinking, there maybe is a reason for this. And I don't like that thought, because it's possible a lot of weird stuff could come down the line. And I think, well, weird is weird. Weird is just weird. But I'm not going to worry about it. Well, of course I'm going to worry about it. I'm going to watch the news, and I'm going to watch this, and I'm going to watch that. But the truth of the matter is that none of us is in this alone. We have others that we can talk to and commiserate with and laugh with. And if we don't laugh at stuff, if we don't have a good chuckle about a lot of this, then we're lost. I spoke to someone yesterday who can't laugh at anything anymore. See, and that scares me, because when you can't laugh at anything anymore, then there's a problem. Someone who is looking at ways to end things. And that really scares me. And I said, you know, you must call somebody. Because if you don't, I will. I'm telling you, I'm thinking very seriously. If you don't talk to someone, I will. And I will check back. And if they don't, I will. Because I just, you got to give life a chance. You have to give life a chance. Life is too valuable. I mean, I was thinking the other day, I am blessed to be 70 years old. 70. Now, I don't feel 70. You know, I don't feel 70. I've got aches and pains. I'm 70. I've got parts of my, you know, being that are 70. You know? I abuse certain aspects of my body and certain aspects of my mind, I'm sure. But I started, yesterday was the birthday of a friend of mine who is no longer with us. And Facebook, hey, today is Mike's birthday, you know, and I went to his page and there he is. There is his picture and pictures that he took of himself, you know, and he was a photographer, and he was a dear friend of mine. So there's Mike's picture back when we were both young. And I'm looking at Mike, and Mike is gone. And he's been gone for quite a while. And Mike was a vegetarian, and Mike was a deadhead, like me. And he traveled from state to state, and he saw the dead hundreds of times, I'm sure. And he was a hippie. And he was a sweet guy. And he never hurt anybody.
And he was kind and considerate. And he had a beautiful laugh and a great hug. And he and his wife are both gone. And here I am, still. And my friend Jeff is gone. So here at 70, I'm still around. And I think that I am blessed, even though I've had a lot of pain and I've had a lot of, you know, there's troubles, right? For all of us. So I feel that I'm here for a reason. And I feel that I have a duty. And I think that my duty is to help. There's something that I feel I should be doing. And I'm serious about that. If someone as lovely as Mike is no longer here, with his lovely long hair, and his great attitude, and his hand-rolled bugler cigarettes, pardon me, get sentimental too. You know, he was so good for the world. He was so good for the world. And so many of the people I knew, then I think that those of us who are here now should try and hold a light of love and a light of peace, and not a light of anger and a light of hatred and a light of smugness, you know? Mike's brother was one of my best friends for years and years and years and years, and he's gone too. And we ended up not ending up as friends for many different reasons, one of which was that he ended up being a different sort of guy, filled with anger and hatred. And I couldn't abide by that. That was not my viewpoint of the world. But he ended up being very negative, and I could not follow that way. And our last conversation was one of him yelling at me, screaming at me. And he loved me, and I loved him, but he was screaming that I needed to wake up and stop being so ridiculous. So Mike and I were talking about his brother. And I said, but man, he was yelling and screaming at me. He said, but that's just him. That was just him. That's just the way he was. And you know, when he called to tell me that he had died, we both cried like babies. That's how he was. You see, there are good people on this world, in this world, and I think that it's up to us to believe in that goodness. And it's up to us to hold the light. So I think that's an active job. That's something that we must actively do every day. We have to actively remember the good people that we have met. We really do. The story I'm going to tell in the Power Peak is like that. It's about what can be done with passion, you know? And it's certainly not a love and light person, to be honest with you. But it's what can be done with passion and with love in the heart. Okay? It's an important thing that we do. It's an important thing that we do. And fear can't be a part of it. Fear can't be a part of it. I don't know if you've ever seen... Do you know what baltering is? If you've ever seen a group of deadheads dancing... That's baltering. That's just flailing your arms and jumping around, listening to music and dancing. I'm baltering is too active for me, but I do, you know, I get into the music. But baltering is just, it's just kind of free form falling when you dance. There's a freedom to it. It's not organized. It's just the spirit that gets into you, when you're listening to a Jerry Garcia solo or a 12-minute rendition of some two-minute song, you know, whatever it is, half an hour, it doesn't matter. It's that freedom that one feels when it just gets into you. There's that freedom is important. It's saying, I don't have to be a part of this because I do my own thing. We should do our own thing. And we shouldn't be afraid of being judged. I'll tell you what got through me, or got me through. I'll tell you what got me through the last 4 years of this particular soap opera. It was The Grateful Dead and a few other things. Gilbert and Sullivan helped, but it was mainly The Grateful Dead because of the incredible amorphic sense of it. But it'll be something for you. Find something. Find something that you fit in. Find your tribe. Let me be part of your tribe if you want me to be. I'm gonna, if as long as I'm around, and I hope to be around, I do hope to be around. And I've got twin grandsons who are going to turn 5 in January. How lucky am I? How lucky am I? I've got grandchildren. How lucky am I? Man, I'm blessed. I have a radio show where I get to speak to you. I'm blessed. And bless you for listening to me. You see, we're all blessed. We're all blessed. So let's take those blessings and don't be afraid. Okay? Really. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. These are our lives. These are our lives. This is our life. This is our time. And we are strong. And don't let anyone take this away from you. Don't let anyone take this away from us. Don't let anyone ruin our time here. Okay? We are grand. My friend Mike was a vegetarian, and he had to have a heart valve replaced. And he told me with such pathos in his heart, he just said, man, they're going to raise a pig, and that pig is going to be raised just for me, and they're going to use a heart valve in his heart for me. He said, isn't that ironic? He hadn't eaten meat in 40 years. And he said, can you believe that? He said, I love that pig so much. I mean, that's what a soul. I mean, these are the type of people that we are, where we have consciences, and we wouldn't think of doing the types of things that people are doing in the world today. That's who we are. Don't let people like that ruin us and ruin our lives. Let them be. We're going to have fun. And I'm going to do everything I can to make our lives fun. Okay? I'm going to have a good time. I'm thinking about reopening the arcade and putting some money back in the machines. I've got to have time. I mean, having a puppy. Poof. Ooh-wee. Especially a puppy like Coco Bean, who is, you know, wow. She's a handful. But I couldn't love her more. I just love her so much. She loves me back. She loves her dad. She's got a white beard, just like I do. Just like I do. She does. She has a white beard. It's far out. It is far out. It's just perfect. It's perfect. She's got little white paws, you know. Just the tips. And kind of like a white vest. She's beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful girl. Smart. Holy mackerel. Whew. Smarter than me.
So don't let anyone ruin your life and ruin your day and ruin your mood. Do you promise? Do you promise? I'll do everything I can to make at least an hour of it better. Okay? I'll be here next week. If all goes well, and I plan on it going well, I'm going to put as much time as I can into it. Right now, my days are very busy. Joyously busy. Fantastically busy. All right? But I'll do what I can. Okay? All right. This is your life. It's not their life. They can't even run their lives properly. Don't let them run yours. You run your life. Okay. All right. Until next week, I wish you all peace and love. And don't ever forget, I love you. Talk to you later. Bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.